The Cricket Podcast.
I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast with me, Jack Hope. Matt Roy Brown.
Hello.
And Ross Legg.
Good evening.
It's a special edition of the show this week. We've left it a couple of weeks, haven't we, lads?
Yeah, just to calm down from the season. The season was so good. The whole of cricket.
The whole of
summer was unbelievable.
The summer of cricket.
The summer of 2019, the greatest cricket summer ever, probably.
No, it's not even a probably about it, definitely. From an English point of view.
We lost the Ashes.
We bloody drew it. We drew the World Cup final, we drew the Ashes.
We didn't lose them, we just failed to regain them. We'll have another go. It's fine.
This week on the Cricket Podcast, we will be reviewing the 2019 Summer of Fun. We'll be looking forward at England's new coaching appointment and some changes to the Test team. And we'll be speaking about India and some other cricketing goings on. Before we get on with that, as the first question to sort of review the summer, let's start on a low note.
Like all good media outlets do.
That's what you need when you're listening to this on your morning commute. What bit of the summer depressed you the most?
Yeah, exactly.
And now you're into October and you hate your life.
I hope for your sake it's not a Monday.
For you two lads, what did you least enjoy about the 2019 Summer of Love?
Personally, I saw Steve Smith hit over 350 runs live.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty shit.
Yeah.
Is that in 2 days?
Yeah.
That's a lot of Steve Smith.
Quite a lot.
And he's a really good player, but not a very nice batsman to watch when you're live. Also, I was sat in the Foster's party stand at Old Trafford, and there wasn't much partying going on. It was just freezing cold. I was about 15 rows from the top, and it was just... Yeah. Horrible.
But hey, at least there was lots of lovely Fosters.
Yeah. Fosters, £6 a pint. Strongbow, £6 a pint. Terrible.
Not what I would call a good call.
Fall it out, Manchester. Max, what was your least favourite moment?
Mine's a personal one. Personal moment.
Typically selfish, Max.
Yeah, naturally. And it goes back to one of my less orthodox dismissals from cricket this year. There are a number to choose from, but the one I've gone for that left me the most crestfallen was when I swept the ball onto my own stumps in the follow-through of a sweep shot, second ball of my innings.
So it wasn't the what time when
it you... wasn't the time where I smashed my own stumps over trying to hook it, no. And it was the other one.
It wasn't the time you back-heeled it onto the stumps either.
No, it wasn't that one, no. Off the slowest bowler imaginable.
I mean, as a top three, that's a pretty good...
I reckon ITV could drag out a show on ITV2 from 9 o'clock about Max's dismissals of the 2019 summer.
Well, kind of like a crime watch, recreating them.
The ones where they get the really like shit Z-list celebrities to come on and talk about where they were when it happened and what they thought of it.
There are quite a few worst moments. Well, from an England point of view, normally it's pretty easy to pinpoint like the worst moment of the summer.
Normally it ends with an England captain resigning or a big flair getting sacked.
Or like a matter of text exchange that goes wrong. Like your best player and the captain in prison speech.
They're all my mates, Ness.
there wasn't really one of those. I did go for an England moment though. I thought the worst moment was, I think it was the Edgbaston test after Steve Smith sort of rescued Australia and then battered us and then went mad on day four, and it was obvious what was going to happen. Moeen Ali was bowling and he moonballed him, like, lobbed Steve Smith twice. And I think, at that point, it felt like losing the Ashes would be inevitable. I've got a second sort of point for England performances. So, Jason Roy's forward defensive. That was a worst
it's
moment.
Not great.
That was a poor moment for everyone.
Yeah. It wasn't so much a moment as a consistency.
So I can't believe you're doubting the Ed Smith maverick genius. That's unbelievable.
I think the problem with this one is that he was pressured into that decision. I don't think that was Ed Smith's... personal decision. I think that was, that was media pressure that got Jason Roy into the side.
Really, was it?
And Ed Smith, wiped his clothes clean to that. Couldn't do a thing wrong.
I'm sure I heard an interview with Ed Smith where he was talking about the selection of Jason Roy, saying last summer when we played India after India and we still had no opener, and or Cook had retired, he sat down with Roo and they discussed whether they would pick Roy and whether he should open the batting if England won the World Cup and Roy had a good World Cup. And Root and Smith were like, yeah, that was a great plan, great plan.
Yeah. That sounds much more realistic than the complete baseless nonsense I've just made up.
don't get me wrong, Jason Roy is a quality player. Like, his hand-eye coordination is ridiculous. His technique is fantastic with attacking cricket.
Yeah.
However, you can't just transcend that into... Yeah. Test cricket
again. Against a formidable pace attack as well, let's not forget.
And that's it. I mean,
Tim Murtagh.
Mark, I can't remember his name.
Mark Adair.
Yeah. He was good.
Boyd Rankin.
Yeah, he was.
Boyd Rankin, ex-England supremo.
Mark Adair was pushing the low 80s.
Yeah. Lads, it's good to hear your worst moments of the year. If you've got anything at home that you'd like to share with us, maybe we've missed a glaringly obvious worst moment of the year.
I'd like a personally bad one.
Yeah.
Actually, even perfect.
We had the story of the guy who got out for hitting the ball into a tree. So, you know, anything like
anything
that
dubious.
Would be great.
Get in touch with us at the Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram or thecricketpod@gmail.com. That's the intro done. We'll have a quick break and then we'll be on with best moment, best batsman, best bowler, best overall player, the Spurrier Cricket Award, and who's been the biggest dick.
Best podcast ever!
This ended apparently in the early hours of Saturday morning with the all-rounder capsizing a peddler at sea near the team hotel.
It's gone for four. Ireland have won. They've beaten England. England's World Cup future hangs in the balance.
The Bangladesh Tigers have knocked the England Lions out of the World Cup.
The Cricket World Cup 2019.
Gattu's going to push for two. They've got to go. It's got throw's got to go to the keeper's end. He's got it. England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins. By the barest of all margins. Absolute ecstasy for England. Agony. Agony for New Zealand.
Well, we've got the worst moment of the summer out of the way from all of our points of view. Should we bounce straight to the best moment of the year?
I think it's a great idea.
So the best moment of the summer of 2019, because we know the best moment of the year was actually in the West Indies when England finally won a test, wasn't it?
Was the Hundo introduced this year? Was it last year?
Was
it last year?
Yeah. That was the best moment last year.
Best moment ever, really. How we sort of pale in comparison to what I'm about to say.
Everything just renders insignificant, isn't it?
Right, round it back up. Best moment of 2019 summer, cricket summer, England, Northern Hemisphere, Ross.
So the World Cup final is probably an easy pick.
That is pretty easy.
But it's not a moment, is it? That was a game. The moment within that game is obviously when Ben Stokes dived and it hit his cricket bat. And then there was so much of the stuff afterwards going, Ben Stokes asked the umpire, don't let those runs down, take them off Arthur. Bollocks, did he? There's not a chance that happens. Not a chance. And there's also when Butler ran out Guptill in the super over.
Another moment, another fine moment.
But my favourite moment, actually, the whole summer was watching the Headingley Test. So watching the Headingley Test, watching Stokes and Jack Leach bat out, and then seeing Stokes just crash it to the boundary of the last ball should, in most people's eyes, be the best moment. Best moment for me: watching Nathan Lyon drop the ball as it was thrown into him when he could have run Jack Leach up.
Yeah, that was good.
Now, when you say, Ross, that should be the best moment for everyone. I'm not going to have to change my moment now because you've gone for the same one as me.
Sorry. I went around you must have been listening to me going, he's going round the houses, round the hour, and he's completely done.
There he goes, driven through the front.
I thought it was a sort of a glorious 1-2 where we had Jack Leach, the should have run out, the recreation of 1999, the Australian semi-final v South Africa, the Lion drops the ball. I mean, he would have been a hero. There would have been photos of them running on the pitch and champagne going off, but there wasn't.
Shame.
But you know what? As a true professional, he followed it up with a really fucking good ball.
Yeah.
and Stokes just plum every double. not given. So I'd probably say say my moment was the not LBW.
Okay,
that
okay.
It was definitely
yeah.
LBW.
Yeah. Yeah. What I really liked about that thing as well was that Tim Payne had acknowledged how bad he'd been with DRS like, the whole way through the thing. And then he was just like, yeah, we're not going to do it again. Pat Cummings, so the LBW to Leach, was like, pitched outside leg. Yeah. Tim Payne,
that's not what happened. So Cummings said, I don't review it, he hit it. And
what?
Payne behind the stumps, yeah, this is genuinely true. Yeah. Payne behind the stumps was like, he definitely didn't hit it, but it might bounce outside the line. And Cummings was like, oh, it didn't bounce outside the line.
A comedy of errors.
They're all idiots.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
That's a strong opening to Starbuck. Yeah.
That's ball right there. Well, I mean, you could just say Stokes and we've got balls 2, 3 and 4 in a row there.
Well, actually, no, I was thinking maybe that, you know, given those two have gone, I'd perhaps... Yeah, fuck it, Stokes hitting that. <Last ball. laughs> that side angle.
Stokes is roaring. A test match that we had no right to win.
It was our
best moment, and we won the World Cup that we're sitting there going, that's the only kind of target we really had for the week, for the year. I mean,
Test cricket is the ultimate. That's the lesson to be learned from that.
I have to say, I did think that the World Cup final was a better cricket match than that test.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I'd say that moment was fantastic, but the World Cup final was a great final.
Nip and tuck, ebb and flow.
In any sport, that would have been like the all-time greatest final. Like that's better than like Istanbul.
It was just no. And what I loved about it was on terrestrial TV and Sky, and everyone just got completely caught up in it. Like people talking about it for weeks. We're still talking about it now. It's in October.
And we are a cricket podcast.
Yeah.
Stop, don't ruin my point.
That is largely our job.
Doing a review of the 2019 summer.
But we're still talking about it.
Some of people come up to
it
work.
It made it in there, Jack.
Other people come up to work, know that I do the podcast, but they just come up to work and they had no interest in cricket before, and now they come and be like, absolutely loved it. I'm looking forward to them being terribly disappointed next year.
Oh, dear.
I was good. I was on free to air as well. That was a great moment. I just don't think that's the whole Stokes thing. That was, from an England point of view, probably the greatest comeback. Maybe in English sport. I just can't think of another occasion where England have been. England, we're like, what we do...
Well, the England football team aren't well known for coming back, so...
What we generally do as a nation is, like, crush the people that are a bit worse than us.
Yeah.
And then fold to anyone a bit stronger than us. We've been doing it for centuries. Like, we conquered a large portion of the globe with these tactics. and we've carried this tradition in sports. So it was like very odd to see England against the odds come out and do something like
that. He took a real stranglehold of that game, didn't he?
Fucking hell.
oh dear. Right.
So that's the best moment.
Allegedly.
That's the best moment. Should we move on? Best
you really
bowler.
Tried to squeeze that one in, didn't you?
Oh,
sorry. Best bowler.
Best bowler. There are a few candidates. Max, why don't you start us off with this one?
I reckon, well, there's a few people worth a mention.
Yeah, well, you can do some nominees. And
yeah, some nominees,
like
an Oscar.
Can I just
a
clarify?
A bit like you both did.
Can I just clarify here? So, are we doing England's best bowler?
No, we're doing the best bowler of the summer. There's lots of World Cup players. Yeah. Particularly when we get to batsmen, there's lots of batsmen.
I'm saying Bumrah is worth a shout. Really good in the World Cup and also in Indian tests this summer has been.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wiping the floor with everyone in front of him.
He's got a stress fracture now, though, hasn't he? So
yeah, that's bad for him.
So I don't know if
it's bad for him.
Good analysis.
It's not what I'm here
that
for.
That will affect his ability to bowl 88 miles an hour.
So if you find yourself a little bit bored, the Indian cricket players have incredible Instagram accounts.
Do they?
They are just ludicrous. It's almost like they're tourists like everywhere they go, obviously, but Bumrah is especially fantastic. There's a picture of him in London, like in a nondescript place in London, and he's just like, love London, and you couldn't tell he's there. There's nothing in the background. There is literally nothing to suggest that he's in London other than him saying he's in London. So if you get a chance, they're just worth
Starbucks behind him.
Where else in the world do you find somewhere that's got this good coffee?
Sorry, Max, I interrupted.
That's fine. So, yeah, Bumrah, worth a mention. Yeah. But
mainly for his Instagram account, apparently.
Yeah, so it would seem. Archer, worth a mention, mainly for his tweets.
the social media rundown of best bowlers. Keep going. Who's most on Pinterest?
Well, that'd be Jimmy Neesham. No, I think best bowler for me has got to go to Cummo.
The Cum Dog Millionaire.
Pat Cummins has been bowling solidly all summer. He must be absolutely knackered. But he bowled well in the World Cup, but in the Ashes he was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think just consistently excellent.
Yeah, I think like if you look at some of his statistics against other fast bowlers as well, they're phenomenal. He's like the fastest to 200 wickets or whatever it is.
I agree.
Average with that.
Yeah, I agree. And there's that bit where it turns around and he's so consistent. Like Hazelwood's especially good as well. Siddle's still very good at kind of just hitting that line and it's just relentless pressure.
Well, I mean, Australia have got that fleet of excellent fast bowlers, but I think it tells its own story and is the only one who played every Test match.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can also sit there. As much as Pat Cummins is amazing, he's also human, because when Ben Stokes smashed that ball to the boundary, it was his shit delivery that he crunched through the covers.
And that is why he is my best bowler.
I thought about making Cummins my bowler of the summer as well. I didn't in the end, but he is very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Who did you pick, Jack?
I went with Jofra Archer. So I went with the narrative choice, I suppose. So the guy who wasn't in the team. Then he was in the team, and then he was sort of rested from the team immediately. Do you remember this at the start series? Played like a game, and then like opened the bowling for like three overs in the second match, and then was rested for like three games.
We've seen enough, guys. He's got two legs, he's in.
People were writing articles about him. A couple of people baited, like, I think Barney Ronay in the Guardian wrote something about not picking Archer. Or this was during the IPO. He said, well, why is Archer... He wrote an article to the effect of, why is Archer in the IPL when he should be playing for Sussex to prove he can bowl 10 overs felt?
So this is... what is that logic? Like, what is it?
I don't know, but like, so he came in, he was obviously wasn't in the team, then he was in the team, then he really annoyed all the Australians by being really good. then he, like, lidded the wicketkeeper in the semi-final.
It's a sliding doors kind of moment, where kind of Jimmy Anderson kind of injured in the first test. Yeah. But if we pick Jofra instead of Jimmy... In that one,
we might have had another bowler. That would have been quite helpful.
Well, I think beyond that, I think you said at the time, Ross, that we got them sort of seven down and then didn't clean up the tail. We just didn't have anyone quick enough or good enough when the ball got a bit soft to get Siddle out quickly. Yeah. And then he got in, and then
the bowlers have been through a lot of work as well.
Broad had
we bowled them out for 150, which we should have done. Yeah, like we'd probably win that test.
Yeah, but do you know what?
Steve Smith doesn't get 150 and like going to God mode.
I think this is the bit where I think England's and Edgbaston's marketing team have to take some of the blame.
They didn't do the selection.
There is no way in sport that you should turn around and kind of call it Fortress Edgbaston. You're just asking for trouble. Yeah. And then when the groundsmen put their thing up, didn't they? They put the World Cup final or the World Cup semi-final score. Up on the score.
Do you remember the other thing?
Way to wind them up, right?
When Tim Payne, this was discussed in a few podcasts and articles, Tim Payne said he didn't think Edgbaston was in the top 15 most intimidating places to play cricket in the world. And then like a turn of age just wasn't that intimidating. It's a good atmosphere there, but like with England cricket fans don't do intimidating.
No. Okay, right. So my best bowler of the summer.
I'll just finish with Jofra though, like because I didn't really get into the test stuff. Obviously, he came in and then made a massive difference in that Lord's test. I think he took a five for his first innings as a bowler.
Almost killed Steve Smith.
Nearly killed Steve Smith. Then he had like a sort of a game off for the Old Trafford test, and then sort of finished his series really strong with another fiver. It's got a bowling average of about 15 or something. I mean, I know no one can bat on either team except Steve Smith, but it's still been a pretty good summer all round for the chap. Yeah,
I think so. I completely agree. It's always quite funny when you see when you hear the commentators go, there's only a few people in the world who can clear out bars like Jofra Archer. That's just like, I was thinking, what other bowlers are you leaving the bar to go and actually see Archer?
For the first test I was working from home, I actually, when Jofra Archer came on to bowl, I just like took an hour off to watch it. Like it was that
Yeah, you got that the wrong way around. What you want to do is go and get a pint because the Barker's gone. Oh, load up, get five.
Classic. You and your fucking Surrey membership straight to the bar.
All right, Rossi, so what's your bowler?
Complete change of gear, complete change of team, Colin de Grandad.
Oh!
Colin de Grandhomme. The guy is a testament to every single club cricketer out there.
Yeah.
Who just a bit of like determination, bit of discipline.
If I just works on my line of length.
Just working line of length and you can bowl for New Zealand. And
win the World Cup final.
It is an absolute trap. The worst moment, I think, for New Zealand, or just in cricket, in general cricket terms, for beating England, why did Kane Williamson choose Trent Bolt? I know he's amazing, but England could not hit Colin de Grandhomme off the square.
How risky is that, though? Bowling a mid-70s bowler in a super over.
I kind of agree with this. I think it's one of those things where if it goes wrong, you look like an fool.
Yeah.
It's like the Panenka penalty.
It's such a bold shout, isn't it, to do it?
But it might have been. I mean, like, considering, what do we get, like 20 runs off his 10 overs? Three wickets or something like that. Like, literally could not hit the ball. Like,
there was keeper standing up.
There was no game plan. There wasn't even like a magic round, like pick up some runs.
Then again, no one really tried, did they? So it got to a stage where England had tried hitting it about a bit, and they'd realised after about five overs of de Grandhomme's overs that it wasn't happening, and they just blocked him out.
Because he's too good.
Yeah. I think a good choice, three good choices for bowler of the summer there. Cummins.
Archer. That was yours.
Yeah.
Yep.
And de Grandhomme.
Catering for everybody's needs.
Yeah. Next on our list of fun. Best batsman.
Steve Smith. Next. There is some notable mentions.
Yeah.
So there? Definitely so. Like the World Cup.
Okay.
There is a hitting masterclass from some of the batsmen involved.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, Warner played well in the World Cup.
Jason Roy played well. Both of them didn't translate. Yeah.
Sharma,
very good. Kohli, not so much.
Kane Williamson.
Yeah, most of the time he was out was pretty unlucky, wasn't it? He didn't get out very often.
Who?
Williamson.
Oh, right, yeah. And then Shaqib.
Did
you know that Steve Smith's 774 runs in the Ashes series is more runs than any England batsman ever has scored in a home series?
That is a great stat.
I'm not surprised though.
Yeah, I'm not surprised either.
Oh, but there's like 120 years of home test matches.
Yeah, but
we play in Australia five matches every three summers or four summers. Mm-hmm. We play in India and South Africa when they were really, really bad. And no England player, no Cook, Gooch, Gatting,
Peterson,
yeah, Boycott, yeah, none of them. Managed more than 772 was the best bowling player.
So I think if
not
he was,
far
I,
off
I,
it.
I do think if people gave Rob Key more of a chance, maybe he would have achieved something like that.
Well, the other thing is Steve Smith, he also missed three innings.
Yeah. No, it was two and a half, wasn't it? Did he miss
three?
Was it the first innings he got trounced?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have got 1,000.
It was just incredible.
Genuinely could have got 1,000.
There was like a 3-over period where you think right when he comes to bat and you're just like, we've got a chance here. There's always like half a chance or there's something that going on, and then from that moment he's just like, oh no, I'm the best batsman in the world, and then just starts smashing it.
Oh, around. I remember.
So that brings us on to best overall player of the 2019 summer.
Stokesy!
You're so basic.
I know, I'm a basic bitch.
I've scored Smith again.
But I don't care.
You're Smith again.
Well, I mean, like, I don't think anyone else would be better than Smith.
No,
anything.
I'm not giving him two awards, fuck's sake.
I mean, like, Steve Smith's summer has been like Lionel Messi good.
but Stokesy got bowling as well, and he took that ridiculous catch.
He was involved in
the two best moments.
Yeah, that is very true.
Well, from an England point of view.
Yeah, and I'm English.
I think I'm contractually obliged to say that Ian Bell was the best player.
Did he play a game all summer?
No, he was injured, didn't he? Was he ruptured his Achilles? I think
better than ever.
Oh, mate. There's a place in that South African tour with his name written all over it.
Hopefully, yeah. Ross, who was your best player of the year? It was Bell. Is that serious?
No, I think
the sledgehammer of eternal justice.
I think you look at how good some of the players were at the World Cup, and you mentioned Shaqib. Yeah. And incredible, absolutely incredible. On the world stage, like, they turned up. There were so many players who were, they were kind of there or thereabouts, and he turned up as Shaqib. And
so you're going Shaqib?
I'll go Shaqib. Just purely to keep it a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, now you're trying to be too hipster.
Okay, well, there's Kane Williamson was incredible. Stokes was incredible. Smith was incredible. So I'm going to have to pick Alex Hales.
He's high on my list.
So two more things that, that were good about the summer. The spirit of cricket was good.
Yeah.
Was a good spirit most of the summer.
Yeah, was there any examples of bad spirit?
Well, I don't know. We're going with the good spirit first. We can
Was there a bad spirit?
Matthew Wade's pretty bad spirit, isn't he?
It's because he's tight.
Short, angry man.
He's genuinely tight.
But on the good side, there must be something good about the summer. What was your happy moment for humanity?
Oh, it's got to be Pavel Florin.
Right, that's a good shout. So who is Pavel Florin for those who...
Pavel Florin, the Romanian cricketer who was playing for CFR Cluj in the Euro Cricket 10 over
I think it was the Euro Cricket Slam, wasn't it?
No, that's the...
Pornhub ran out of money somehow. Pornhub's Euro Slam never got the ground.
It was a club competition for the winners of various domestic leagues across continental Europe. Yeah. And Pavel Florin is a man who fell in love with cricket after seeing some people play it on a local field. He's not particularly good. He's just broken his leg.
He's bad.
And he gained notoriety for his unorthodox bowling action. But he said, "I don't care. I just love playing cricket."
Is it something to be said for like just spending 6 months in a place like Cluj and just going and playing in this European competition?
Well, top up your average.
Yeah, literally. You go. Like, there is no doubt in my head that if we went up to Romania, we'd be pretty good.
You'd be reckoning. Yeah, you'd probably be in the best 10 or 11 players in Romania, I reckon.
Yeah.
And so there's that bit of going, you could play some European cricket. That'd be great.
Yeah, you could also...
Live streamed on YouTube.
I think it's a good suggestion for Max, actually. I think like that.
In the nations that are quite good that you might want to go and live in, though, no offence to Romania here.
Wait, it's a question. Have you ever been to Romania?
No,
I've not. So let's not go down that.
No, good point. But I know you can get £36 return flights to Cluj if we wanted to go on tour.
So you could commute for a Saturday game. You could just be like, I'll be there. Might miss meet time a little bit every now and again because of EasyJet flights.
But you could. Pavel Florin once drove 500 kilometres overnight to be a cricket game.
I think he does it every weekend because there's only one cricket pitch in Romania.
Right,
and it's in Bucharest. And the team, they travel from Cluj, which is fine.
That is such a statement. There is only one cricket pitch in Romania. That is a great opening suggestion.
They're playing against professional people, though. So, like, Pavel Florin's turning up and, like, Holland are sending, like, their professional team.
Mate, that
to play against
Pavel. Imagine turning up and Dirk Nenez. He used to bowl at nearly 100 miles an hour, but now he only bowls about 90. That'd be terrible.
So Max, Ross, what was your happy moment? Take us to your happy place.
So Jack Leach, the emergence of Jack Leach as just a cult hero, I think is as a pretty spectacular kind of thing. I must admit, I really disliked Sheldon Cottrell after the West Indies tour.
Yeah.
And actually...
Did he win you over?
He won me over. I love the salute.
Is it because he retweeted us?
Yeah, because he follows us on Twitter.
Yeah.
But an all-round general guy. And if he wants to come on the show, he's more than welcome to. But it's characters like that you need in cricket. There's so much stuffiness still that exists. There's so much fakeness that you see it when people go, like, they're after a game, they're going, oh, got to do it for the fans, love the fans were great about this. It's just a PR company behind, say, Stokes or Root. So, but I think my best moment was when Owen Morgan had the press conference and was all about talking about diversity and all things like that. And then someone's like, luck of the Irish. And then he brought in, oh, actually, we had kind of Allah on our side and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, for an England cricket captain to turn around and do something like that was just monumental. Can you imagine Michael Vaughan doing that? Mr. Daily Mail. Like, just wouldn't happen. So, Owen Morgan just being captain of England for me was...
Think about that. Michael Vaughan's England teams, they were quite white.
Now, obviously, we should refute any allegations.
I don't want to start a conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean, Shah a few times, maybe played that.
Vikram Solanke was knocking around, wasn't he?
But, Bapara in his early days. It's not looking good for Vaughan, is it?
Yeah. The plot thickens on that one.
Jack, what about yourself?
I actually haven't noted anything down. I think Pavel Florin was the standout moment. It's quite hard to look beyond that.
It just embodied everything about the spirit of cricket, didn't it?
Yeah. Stokes walked, but I think that might be because Stokes is stupid. I don't know that for sure either.
I think
I don't know if that was a pure fair play move.
I'd like to give an honourable spirit mention to the New Zealand team in the World Cup final after that ball cannoning off Stokes' bat and going for four overthrows.
They are really nice.
And at the end of the game, they're all just like, happens, doesn't it? Like, fair play to England, they were excellent, they deserved it. Every single one of them was completely magnanimous. And could you imagine if it were the Aussies on the end of that? They would be spitting tacks.
It would have been the best day in history.
That and particularly if that happens when India did it or like Kohli Misfield, pump that straight into my veins.
Well, that's all very good. As that brings us to the last of our sort of roundup awards, if you like. Biggest dick of the summer. I've got quite a few candidates here.
Can you rattle through them? Talk us through.
So I've got the England team selection people picking James Anderson in the first test. I mean, the calf injury is so bad that he's not being picked for the New Zealand test, which he's still...
He's now actually training with Man City in a bid to save his career from a serious calf injury.
Yeah, so that was a dick move by everyone involved.
What position is he going to play?
I've got the Pakistan new coach selection process.
Yeah.
Lost 2-0 to Sri Lanka in the T20. And Mizpah's quote was, Pakistan are bad in all areas.
At least he's not singling anyone out.
For people who don't know too much about that, basically what happened was after the World Cup, Pakistan did kind of okay. They were going to keep Mickey Arthur on. The president of the country,
ex-international cricketer,
overruled the decision of the Pakistani cricket board to make sure that Mickey Arthur was fired. Mickey Arthur was then replaced by Mizbah, who was the head of the Pakistani cricket board and had written the guidance for who got to be on the board. And one of the things he said was you need 2 years experience coaching the international side, which he didn't have. So well done there. Afghanistan's Cricket World Cup meltdown and beyond.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so disappointing. I went to the World Cup preview and we all had so much hope for Afghanistan and just internal politics just completely did them over. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
They went a bit England really, didn't they, with that one?
Yeah, I mean they fired their captain but didn't drop him in the squad, appointed a captain who wasn't really
the captain
good
before.
Then they sent home their talisman wicketkeeper Shahzad, who claimed he wasn't injured, although they said he was injured. Then they brought back their captain, who'd been dropped from the team, into the team, who was then just sort of captaining the team. He was directing the players. Afghan, he basically overruled Naib. And then the captain himself managed to blow a couple of games by bowling himself at like really terrible moments. So all around a shocker.
But they now have Rashid Khan captain in all three formats.
Yeah. And beat Bangladesh.
And they beat Bangladesh one of their first test matches.
And Bangladesh have lost every team they've played the first time.
Ireland's
the only one left.
Ireland are the only
team
they
haven't played.
Afghanistani cricket on the up, but that's not the category. Dick of the summer.
Final one. Dave Warner. Just for being Dave Warner. Seven times.
I think. That's the thing. For me, Dave Warner redeemed himself by being out to Stuart Broad seven times.
I've never seen anything quite like what that was. Like they just had someone just in the public eye, having something over someone, and just repeatedly just beating this person.
7 out of 10 times. Pretty bad, to be honest.
In all different ways as
average
well. Bold, less, edge behind, strangled down the legs.
Less than Jack Leach.
Yep. So did Jason Roy, but.
So they're my nominations.
I've not really got one that's better than the others. I think maybe picking Anderson, that was a fucking stupid move.
It was a travesty, wasn't it? Really, really poor.
Ross, what have you got?
I'm interested. I actually quite agree with the selection panel for England. Like, there is clearly quite a lot of good cricketers who could have tried to at least fill the void in the opener space. Like, I know they love Jason Roy, and I love they were just like, you know, this experiment's going to go great. Don't try it in the Ashes.
Yeah.
Go with, like, who can bat time? Rory Burns, like, fantastic. Yeah. What a finding.
Sealed
really.
The place.
Like, what a finding. He did hit the most county runs in the last 5 years. Whatever, ridiculous. But actually, yeah, trusting that is not too bad. Like, Dom Sibley is now part of the setup. Zach Crawley was there. Like, picking a genuine opening batsman might have been quite a good thing to do.
Zach Crawley's an interesting one because he hasn't performed as well as a number of other county championship
later.
Players.
That's later.
That's for the squad
future,
chat.
That's future cricket podcast.
Yeah. Getting ahead of myself. Apologies.
So you say you would agree with selection issues?
I just think selection boards for every country. It's not just England.
They are bad.
The people who are actually on
there
them.
Are very few that get it right. I mean, like, West Indies fired their whole board, imported a new board, picked a whole new team. Before the World Cup.
The India board and the India players clearly hate each other, and then they have to put up front to the media that go, we don't hate each other, and then the media just hate them both, but they love Kohli. It's just like, what is going on? But yeah, no, I reckon selection panels across the country, across the world.
They've had a particularly poor summer, haven't they?
Is cricket like one of... Like, I don't know how the selection works for, say, rugby, for instance. Mm. But it is just the coach who says, I want these men, isn't it?
Yeah, I would assume so.
And football, it is the coach who says, I want these men.
And then in cricket, you've got the captain, the board of selectors, the media as well, probably.
But this is why people sit there and go, the new England coach, that's a big deal, it's a big deal. Like, the captain has so much power. Like,
in England, the captain isn't. In Australia, the captain used to be a selector until Michael Clarke. Like, they.
Well, what's the thing is that the most important person in Australia is the Australian cricket captain and then the Prime Minister.
Yeah. Well, I mean, cricket is a foreign policy. Max, what was your dick of the year moment?
Yeah, well, I think you both make a very good point about the selection boards, but I thought I'd go slightly different.
Yes.
And prelude to something a little later on the show. It's got to be the 100 launch party.
Was there a proper party?
Oh, they did some launch event in some warehouse in East London.
Where was our invite? I'm
thinking specifically the unveiling of the kits.
And also
the naming.
Yeah, honestly,
the names are atrocious.
You've
the kits
absolutely
are
nailed
atrocious.
That concept.
I'll tell you what was good though. The Oval Wonders, whatever they're called,
Invincibles.
Selection of Rory Burns. That's really good cricket thinking.
I thought it was Roy and the Currents.
Burns. If there's one thing that Burns has proven this summer, it's that he can bat for 100 balls.
Yeah.
And that sort of wraps up our review of cricket in 2019 in England. It was good. What would you rate it out of 10? Did it make a 10?
I really don't think there's going to be a cricket summer like it for us. Unless it was a bit where, and this is definitely not against the way the ICC work, England get another World Cup.
In
an Ashes summer in about 10 years time, I would not be surprised.
Where's the next World Cup? That is in India.
Yeah.
So the one after, they'll probably have to put it in Qatar because that seems to be all sports. And then, 12 years time, we bring it back.
How bad that would be! Imagine putting that World Cup in like Abu Dhabi and Qatar.
The irony
play
is
in the summer at least.
Cricket. Yeah, cricket's probably the only sport that you could actually genuinely have there and not look completely insane.
I would like them to do a shared India-Pakistan World Cup again. I think that was complete genius. What,
play it only in Kashmir?
No, they had. Do you not remember that we talked about this in one of the shows? They had a World Cup. And your pool games, you played every team twice, but one in India and one in Pakistan. So it was good. It was a good summer. We'll finish with this. How would you rate England's performance out of 10?
I wrote for England, that was probably the best they could have done. Winning the World Cup, 10 out of 10. Test match, probably a 6 out of 10. Seven. Yeah. I feel they left some stuff on the field.
I'd say 6.
So overall, I'll give it an 8, which I think is quite positive.
I was going to lean towards a 7 because not winning the Ashes is a bit of a disappointment. And we did get bowled out by Ireland for 85. We mustn't forget that.
Yeah. But hold on, we did beat Pakistan like 5-0 in that one day series, so...
I still can't believe the first corporate hospitality game I get to is the Friday when we just bowled Ireland out for 30 and I was just like,
go home. Back to work.
Women lost the Ashes, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But to be fair, the emergence of
comprehensively as well.
Emergence of an incredible player in Healy. So
and finally, would you trade the World Cup for the Ashes?
No.
No,
I don't think I would either. That's the end of our review of 2019. We'll be back in a second with some current topics, including things like England's new coach,
the Hundo,
England's new test team.
Max,
I think you've got everything there.
We love hearing from our listeners, so please follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Or if you have a great story, like Scotty G did, about The Haydon Way, Matthew Haydon's personal website, we want to hear about it. So from wherever you're from, send us in a great story and we'll read out on the show. Email us on thecricketpod@gmail.com. Thank you very much.
So the England team, the cricket team, they have two or three shiny new things. The first of the two new things is the T20 team. We're playing, I didn't know this till I looked it up this morning, we're playing a 5-match T20 series against New Zealand coming up in December. Who's excited to stay up all night and watch some of those games?
Definitely silence. So
did you even know that was happening?
One, I had no idea that was happening. Two, they're obviously ramping up the preparation for the T20 World Cup.
Yeah.
Is it winter next year, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, next year. Yeah.
So, I just find T20 is international T20 is quite a strange thing now.
Just don't get the impression that anyone really gives a shit.
I think the World Cup's good. The World Cup is a good spectacle.
Yeah,
enjoyable. The games are usually quite intense, but
it's like in domestic cricket, you have the 2020 competition or whatever, and everyone enjoys it, but no one really ever bothers otherwise, do they?
Yeah,
Who has a friendly, who has warm-up T20s and that kind of thing.
But to be fair, England have now got a pretty exciting T20 squad. I think because of the way in which we've kind of said people can go play the IPL, people can go play the Big Bash, and we've got the T20 Blast has ultimately been a pretty good success, I actually think.
Oh, this year, definitely, yeah.
And I think we've actually produced some pretty good players.
So, new to the team,
Tom Banton.
Yeah.
We called him out one of our first shows.
After the Big Bash as well, after the...
It's a big one. So I'll be excited to see how he goes.
Somerset wicketkeeper batsman.
The games, if you're listening in the UK and interested in these, start at 1 in the morning, 1 in the morning, 1 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and 1 in the morning.
if I happen to be up particularly late on any of those, I might consider it.
No, but knowing the ICC and the boards, they'd be like on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
No, I probably won't watch. I might watch some highlights and stuff, but that's not really my bag, T20. The more important stuff, I suppose, after the Ashes anyway, and at the beginning of our new 2-year cycle.
And the Test Championship, don't forget that.
I shouldn't forget that. I chastised myself for getting such an important tournament.
Of course, the tests against New Zealand aren't actually part of the test championship.
Semantics.
What?
Do you not know this?
I'm not.
No, yeah, they're not listed as one of our opposition for the test championship, so we're just playing them for fun.
That is... What? Why are we going to the other side of the world for something that just doesn't matter?
Well, we're going for the T20s and then we're just playing some warm-up tests, you know?
Yeah, it's a good question. No one really knows, do they?
No, there's no real reason.
I'm actually stunned by that. And I'm not at the same time. That is completely in keeping with what happens in cricket.
Yep.
Okay, so in terms of the team we're taking...
So we've got some new men in. Do you want to... You probably know the new men, but should we run over them?
Yep.
So Zach Crawley is in.
Yep.
Opening batsman at Kent. Matt Parkinson, the leg spinner, is in.
Never heard of him.
Lancashire bowler, yeah.
Apparently you have heard of him.
Dominic Sibley.
Yep.
Is in.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bloody say.
Tom Buckley. I think he batted for like 500 more balls anywhere else or something. It might even be 1,000 more balls.
Oh, he just
it's the bit where someone sit there going, I don't trust data. Yeah. I don't trust data.
Yeah. Well, no, I heard this as well. It was one of the England candidates, the coach, we'll get to that in a sec. But Alex Stewart, because he was at Surrey. If you don't know the story of Dom Sibley, he started at Surrey and was like their next big thing. He was going to be a prodigy. They signed an overseas opener after he broke out in or broke through into the team. I can't remember.
Dean Elgar?
It might have been Dean Elgar. I can't remember.
Sangakkara was there.
A couple of years ago. It was a little while ago. And it was about the time when his contract was up for renewal. So he just broke into the team. I think he scored a double century on his debut. He scored a few runs.
Yeah.
And he allegedly, I've heard this through some sources that are quite close to Surrey Cricket Club, but not.
It's not me.
It sounds like sources close to number 10.
It's not in
the. It's a man with a membership.
But basically, Sibley demanded that he had a contract that said he got to play every game in the championship as an opener if he wasn't injured. And they were like,
right.
Well,
no.
We've
see
just
later.
Recruited whoever it was.
I mean, that is
a
ridiculous demand to make a man.
Do you know what? I don't think it is.
He said, well, fuck you then, and went to play for Warwickshire.
I've done that. that's exactly what I would have done.
We have to remember that the guy was like 18 at this time.
So what?
He had a little bit of a lull after that, and it's only sort of the end of last cricket season, 2018, 2019. I think he got like 9 matches, which were a century in all the matches, that he's broken through again, and then had like a great summer this year. Mm-hmm. But it suggests he might be a bit of a tricky character. But anyway, so with that in mind, and back to the original point, Alex Stewart said there's doubts about him at test level because he's got a bit of a weird technique.
Right.
I don't know what that means exactly. Alex Stewart said it was something about him shuffling across.
Is Alex Stewart just a bit bitter?
It sounded like, in the interview I heard, it sounded a bit like it. Like the weakness he outlined was that like sometimes early in his innings he's a little bit iffy, like on his off stump and just outside his off stump.
You mean
like every opener,
like everyone,
in
like
cricket.
Even Steve Smith.
So we'll see how that goes.
Which is strange, because obviously at the moment you've got people like Rory Burns, who's a weird tinny.
Yeah.
Steve Smith could not be stranger.
I mean, Alex the Cook had a fucking weird technique.
But in 3 shots. It's just like, nope, not playing anything else.
Trescothic.
Not
probably,
exactly
probably,
orthodox.
Anyway, so that's Sibley. Sibley's one I'm most excited about. I forgot to mention Pope's in. Pope's very exciting as well.
Yeah.
So I think they'll probably come into the team for the first.
I'll be surprised if they're not playing. Like, I think that they must see Pope as kind of
the new
the saving grace,
the Messiah.
So I'm guessing if Bairstow's not in, Butler will be keeping.
Yes,
that's
with Pope as the backup.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you feel. I mean, I presume the plan is to bring Sibley in for Denley. Or bring Sibley and Bairstow.
It's
deadly
in the travelling.
We'll get to that.
Denny's not playing again.
We're both quite excited about Sibley, or we're all quite excited about Sibley and Pope, I think.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. The slightly more wild card picks, Crawley, Parkinson and Saqib Mahmood. Anyone got any thoughts?
So Saqib Mahmood
is had a good season.
He's a quality player.
I heard, and this might be wrong, that he's got the 16th best average of English players in Division 2 in the Championship.
It's not the best, is it, when you look at
not,
those things?
Not great. But like we've said, data is nonsense. So.
I get that.
Honestly, watching him a couple of times in Lancashire, he's clearly a good bowler. Yeah. And if you've got someone like Graham Onions and Jimmy Anderson kind of bowl, like teaching them as they're coming through, I can imagine he's going to be pretty good. He's not the fastest bowler in the world, but that might not make any difference. You've got a bit of control.
Parkinson,
your granddad after all.
Parkinson, I presume, is in there as the backup spinner.
Yeah, but we just love picking a leg spinner. Do you remember when we picked Mason Crane?
Salisbury.
We need to blood in this youth quite quickly.
It's the shame on legacy. He's still haunting us.
They're still looking for both of them, 81 and Flint off 05.
Yeah.
And we're still looking for Shane Warne and Richie Benno.
they put Marcus Stoinis, for goodness sake.
Who that's supposed to be.
Yeah, what is a Marcus Stoinis? Who knows? interestingly, though, you look at kind of the spinners England are picking and all that kind of. But my favourite thing recently was Monty Panesar has an interview saying he's not given up hope of playing for England.
Okay. You are joking. I know the man's a bit dim, but that's just off the chain, isn't it?
That's stunning. There are rumours, and this is jumping forward a little bit, that Simon Harmer, the Essex
player... Yeah, he said he'd love to. He has said he'd really like to play for England.
So what is it? He's played 5 test matches for South Africa.
I think there might be 2. It's not very many.
But there's 5. He has played 5. It's 5, yeah.
So...
looks a bit like a 2.
So what does that mean? Can he actually play for England once he's lived here for a number of years?
If he gets a residency visa, then... yeah, it's presumably the same, a similar route into the team as Joffre Archer, and obviously they cut the number of years down. He might need clearance from the ICC, I think, but so he drops, if you're interested in this kind of speculation, he dropped the SA from the end of his Twitter handle. Speculation on that. But anyway, and the final one in the current England team anyway, is Zach Crawley, who apparently is very stylish. But doesn't necessarily, Max, have the record to stack up against other people?
No, I mean, he has performed well this season, and he's near the top of the average, but there are a number of other players who haven't had the chance, like Sam Northeast springs to mind, that have performed.
Gary Balance!
Gary Balance as well has performed better than Zach Crawley this season, and it just seems like a bit of a popularity pick.
Well, do you know what the really strong thing is from this selection? James Vince, isn't there?
Yeah, that is good. Just on Crawley, just
always
to back up Max's point, the bloke in first class cricket averages 31.27.
Which, to be fair, is about exactly what you need to be in the England test team.
Yeah, yeah. 36 matches he's played, 61 innings, only 300s in 61 innings. Do you want to know how he finished the season?
Please.
So his score, last few scores in order, 5, 3, 3, 82, 4, 15, 0. Not... that's what I would go as far as saying that's a maverick genius pick from Ed Smith.
I'll come in.
I've heard really good things about him. But
a bit of defence that some of those scores are in England when they are playing in the end of September.
That didn't stop Steve Smith, did it?
He didn't bat in the end of September.
Well, no, their last match here started, or their second last match here started about the same time.
Ollie Pope was scoring plenty of runs in those last few games while everyone else around him was collapsing.
That's because everybody knows that the pitches in London are flat and they are nice and warm and baked because of the pollution.
I think we'll find them playing in Somerset.
So they're the men in. Do you want to do the men out?
Bairstow?
Gone.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Bairstow's gone.
Shame Folks wasn't in there, though.
Yeah, that's just
no
ridiculous,
Folks,
isn't
yeah.
it? What's he done? He must have slept with someone's wife.
Stone.
It's the only reasonable explanation.
Ollie Stone not in there.
Oh, he's been injured, hasn't he?
He's been injured.
Yeah. I think he fractured his back like
And obviously no Jimmy Anderson as well. Possibly the end of Jimmy Anderson's test career.
He's going to have to come back. He'll have a swan song, won't he?
I think England are too sentimental now. I think they'll definitely play him.
Right.
Might be his last Ashes. Though.
And then the two notable... well,
you wouldn't pick up the Ashes. You're not taking Jimmy Anderson to Australia.
No.
There is not a chance you're taking a 40-year-old Jimmy Anderson to play the
fucking game. Have you seen how many wickets Darren Stevens has taken this summer?
Yeah, but not in Australia. If Darren Stevens gets a contract in the Sheffield Shield and takes a stack full, I'll be like, do you know what, maybe there's a bit of legs for this. But imagine Jimmy Anderson coming up in Perth and just going round the park.
They'd have to pick Stuart Broad to wheel him in.
The commentary just can't believe the Kookaburra's not swinging.
Butler and Bet Denley retain their places after sort of iffy summers, but they both kind of finish well. And
they kind of just managed to scrape.
That's what matters in England.
I don't have a problem with
Butler. You're only as good as your last test, unless your last test was shit, and then you're better than that.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind the pick of Butler. I rate Butler, but Denley, joke pick. What is he doing there?
So that's the team. Mm-hmm. What else is new?
Well, spoons.
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 Spoons is.
So this is Chris Silverwood. His nickname is Spoons. He's the new. So he's been promoted from being England bowling coach to being their head coach. So replacing Floppy Hat Bayliss.
Is that his official nickname as well?
No, that's his name by Deepole. He changed it during the summer, actually. Once they won the World Cup, he got a tattoo and changed his name.
Floppy Hat Bayliss.
Floppy Hat.
News to me.
News to it. But I want to know, I don't know what's behind him being called Spoons. There's obviously the bit Silver Spoon, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm liking to think that actually, after a hard day, he finds the nearest Wetherspoons and has six a couple of pints. Leave means leave to Chris Silverwood. That's the best.
It almost certainly is that. but so he was the England bowling coach from early 2018.
Yep. And that's where he developed a really good friendship with Yuri Geller. And and actually developed this real fascination with bending spoons for us.
It is a little bit meet the new coach, same as the old coach.
Yeah.
Well, England do that a lot.
Well, do they? I mean,
What do you mean, do they? Moores came back.
All right, okay.
Andy Flower
involved, or was he?
Well, Andy Flower is still part of the England setup.
Oh, right, okay. So yeah, he was a jobs to the boys sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally, we don't just promote the bowl. Normally, there's a weird and wonderful choice, or someone does something sensible and brings in someone with a good idea. But not this time. Apparently, the information that I have from sources close to the England team. Now, these ones aren't. I just read this in The Guardian. the Surrey staff, I genuinely have a source.
Yeah?
Yeah. I can't reveal them because I'm a proper journalist.
No, very good.
but for this, no.
Makes one of us.
Yeah, I did just read it in The Guardian. Apparently, Giles basically just wanted an Englishman.
Yeah, I've heard the same from sources close to BBC journalists.
They felt under pressure after appointing 8 overseas coaches for the Hundo, they went with that.
And they didn't fancy giving Peter Moores a third stint.
They asked him; he was busy. They expect Collingwood and Thorpe to stay in place as well, so that's good for continuity because we're doing so well in the disciplines they coach. In my opinion, this is just a classic case of cricket nepotism.
Yeah.
This is exactly what would happen at any club.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like you just get the next old man who lingers around the team to do it.
Yeah, they just say, sorry, Clive died. Colin, it's time to stand up and you've got to do this now.
Except it's much better paid. You have to do media interviews.
Yeah, you don't have to go put the covers on at the end of the game or put the chairs away.
And you can kiss goodbye to your family for 9 months of the year.
There were some other candidates in the running. I'd finished the sort of slagging off of Silverwood with like we don't know how it's going to go.
I mean, you might do a crack job.
Anything about the bloke.
So when he took over when Essex were in Division Two, got them promoted,
took them to the title.
And then they won their first title. Was it ever or like
in 25 years?
25 years. And now you look at the things he put in place. I mean, they say that things put in place. It also helps that Alistair Cook, the best England batsman ever, came back to the same. They've got Simon Harmer in place, Proctor.
Yeah.
But you've still got to win the games. So it's fair play too.
I think it's important to say that, what we're saying, I don't think it's anything on Chris Silverwood so much as just the England setup and the way they've approached it.
The other thing is, with a T20 thing coming up, there is an argument given how well the summer went from a white ball perspective that you maybe don't completely change course. there's definitely, you can see a logic behind
there was some good stuff there.
One at least of the key men in place to at least get through that. But it's been a while since we've had a complete car crash in charge of England, so
looking forward to it. I see Owen Morgan staying on as well as captain.
Yeah, he is staying on. That's probably good, I think. Yeah.
I've got a theory about that, but I'll come to it later.
Okay.
So, I mean, Gary Kirsten was interviewed.
Yes, Kirsten was interviewed, and Alex Stewart was the other one.
Yeah.
I'm glad Alex Stewart hasn't been given it, because clearly he's doing quite a good job at Surrey of bringing through talent. You don't want to lose that, do you?
Not at all, no.
And I must say, as much as I don't particularly like Surrey as a county, because, I mean, you support them, Max.
Who does?
They have just bought in Hashim Amla.
Oh, I haven't. Oh, God, that made me happy.
That is unbelievable.
What a signing that is. Who needs Dom Sibley when you've got Hashim Amla?
Like the twilight years of when Sagarkara was the side, do you know what, I was going to get a nice pay packet.
And loads of runs.
Just watching Sagarkara play. He's going to be insane for a Hembler.
I might upgrade my membership to a county champ one next week.
Do you want to know, so we've done the coach, Wisden did an article about the 5 key tasks he'll have. Do you want to know what they thought they were and whether Silverwood can carry them out?
So win the 2020 World Cup.
Well, no, it's not
win the Ashes
game.
Back.
I'm just going to read them out.
And for £200.
So first, fix England's batting in Test matches. Interesting that they've appointed a bowling coach to do that. I think that might be one of those things that's unfixable. Task two, find an identity in Test matches. So I think
our identity has been found, mate. We are look okay, collapse, bowlers help so us think, out, we lose painfully.
I think the point here, they sort of elaborate on this. Apparently Bayliss wanted to do this, like try this total cricket idea where you basically pick just sort of the 11 best cricketers.
So like the Galacticos.
Yeah, but like you're not like who's the best batsman to bat. You're just like, oh, Ben Stokes is good, Ali's good, Rashid's good, Curran's good, Wokes is good, get them all in. Like, we don't, that like, doesn't matter where they're playing. Like, one of them will win the game.
Okay.
So, they, apparently, the Wisden said that England actually tried this for a test in the last 12 months, but I can't find the one it was where we played all of these wild cards.
So, it's kind of like, put enough energy in this reactor and something is going to happen. Yeah.
It works notoriously well in cooking as well, doesn't it?
But what they're saying is that England needs to sort of decide between this sort of, like, pack everyone in or do it properly.
I think you've touched on it a number of shows just around that kind of the mates kind of system they've got in place. Yeah. There's no way Bairstow should be in the test team. That's just not a case. So,
but he is mates with Root, so maybe. Third, gear up for the T20 World Cup. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Four, plan for life after Broad and Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
So Wokes, fine.
He might be good at that, I think, as a bowling coach.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see some stuff there.
I think England have got some pretty good bowlers coming through.
But Archer will be fine.
And then finally, and I think this will be a big one, going to India, can he find a way to win? Because this winter we've got New Zealand and South Africa, which are probably, apart from maybe the West Indies at the moment, England's two favourite places to go abroad.
Yeah, because they're the most similar.
They're similar. Neither of those teams are like, I mean, South Africa were good recently, but are probably in a little bit of a dip at the moment.
They're both
places that England should go and think we can win these series. Mm-hmm. India, though, I think the last 4 years, they've only lost 8% of their tests at home. So that's a massive challenge. Like winning, if you can win one test there, it's almost as good as
winning the series. Yeah.
So South Africa there at the moment and kind of getting pummeled by India.
They took it to day five.
And true, yeah. but there was also, I think their opening partnership was worth like 360 or something. But AB de Villiers was interviewed in the press and was just so how come
I'll come and play for them if they want.
why do you think India play so well at home? And they were just because his quote is, it's because they've got such constructive and positive relationships with the groundsman. I've turned up before on a Friday playing on the Saturday and the pitch hasn't even been cut. You couldn't even tell which one it was. AB de Villiers, a little bit bitter, I think, in there. But you look at when we last played there, Cook obviously scored a ridiculous amount of runs, but we had two incredible spinners. As much as I took the piss out of Monty earlier, he was amazing. Graham Swan, one of the spinners of our generation.
Yeah.
We're going to have Jack Leach, Simon Harmer, maybe. I don't know. Dom Bess, Mason Crane, Parkinson. We need to find a good couple of spinners from somewhere. Joe Denley?
Simon Harmer.
So that's
England's, well, where England are with the test matches. We'll continue to monitor that as we go through into New Zealand for the big five match T20 series that we're all looking forward to.
I think we should Facebook live stream it.
all three.
We should watch it.
Do a preview show, live stream the game, do a post match show for all of those T20s.
Yeah, if you like, we'll run a poll on our Twitter site at the Cricket Pod, and if you want that, we'll
think about it.
Yeah. Maybe what we should do is live stream the whole tour. So just have one of us on duty at all times monitoring Twitter and news sites just to see what's going on.
I think it's fine. maybe we'll put the expense account a trip to New Zealand just to follow around the ground.
That is England and New Zealand. Should we do one more thing from the sphere of England cricket before we go on to the little bits and wrap sharp? Matt, some stuff happened in the 100 this week.
Yeah.
I believe as a lover of the Hundo.
Oh, boy. Boy, do I love the Hundo.
Just the concept of the Hundo. You've not actually seen any Hundo or played any Hundo.
Just the very idea.
Just the idea of
fills
carrying
me with joy.
100.
It's a wonderful number.
I mean, just try it now. 100, 99. Everyone loves 99. So immediately, first ball, you're going to 99.
Yeah.
99 problems, but 100 balls ain't one. Because you've or one ball ain't one.
Are you okay, Jack? Shall I get on with the 100
bit? Tell us about the hundo.
Yep, the 100. Coming to our screens next year, whether we like it or not. But in advance of that, we've got a sneak preview of the kits. Hooray! What do we make of those?
Well, first of all, you've mispronounced the way the hundo should be pronounced.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So I mean,
El Hundero.
Just like women and children can't count to 120, they find the word 100 with its seven letters quite difficult. Because you remember the concept of overs with six balls.
No.
Well, they couldn't do it, could they?
Oh, so yeah. I mean, that was shock horror.
So hundo, H-U-N-D-O,
yeah.
Five.
Was it Strauss that said that? Was it Paul Downton or whatever his name is?
Paul Downton. I think you made that up. Tom Harrison.
No, Paul Downton used to be one of the. Well, used to be the guy.
Isn't he the one who runs the Abbey?
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
So the kits that have come out. So I mean, first of all, should we cover what the names are of the different franchises?
Jake, I don't know them. Can someone run through these?
Welsh Fire.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Dragon.
Yeah.
Manchester Originals.
I don't understand that one. Can you explain that? There must be a reason.
Well, I think it's because there's such a big thing in the 90s around wearing Adidas originals, and they've actually...
Was that gone the all reason? Around.
Genuinely?
No, that's not the reason, obviously.
I'd buy it.
Like,
Leeds Superchargers.
Isn't that the rugby team?
No. Is it Superchargers? I thought they were the Rockets.
No, that's Trent
Bridge Rockets.
I don't know.
Trent Rockets. What's the London team called?
There's two of them.
So London Spirit?
London Spirit. Spirit of Cricket. That one actually makes sense. It's shit, but it makes sense.
Okay. And then...
the Oval Invincibles.
What?
I thought they were the London Invincibles.
No, Oval. Oval Invincibles.
What were they going to be called?
Oval Greats.
Oval Greats.
They changed it. Yeah. And Southern Brave.
Oh, these are shit, aren't they?
Birmingham Phoenix. That's the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sighing. Yeah, I mean, the sighing is
so bad, it's quite hard to take the piss out of them.
Yeah.
You know, like how Trey Parker and Matt Stone say that it's very difficult to take the piss out of politics. This making South Park's got harder and harder because doing a satire of current events.
It does it itself.
Yeah, it's just impossible to make it more fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, like, literally saying, yeah, I rang the president of the Ukraine to try to get him to give me some dirt on Joe Biden, but actually, it wasn't me that was corrupt. It's like on it. It's similar here. Like, what are you supposed to say? They've invented a cricket competition that nobody fucking wants, everybody hates.
Yeah.
They post about it on Facebook and Twitter, and people fucking slag them off. They've got shit kits, they've got shit fucking names. Like, half of them aren't, like, they've got, like, incongruous names. Trent. What is Trent? Is that a bloke from Los Angeles?
Trent Johnson, isn't it?
Trent Rockets, nice to meet you.
Welsh Fire.
Need a fridge? I can sell you one.
Welsh Fire is the southwestern team, but like nobody in the fucking southwest gives a shit about Wales. Nobody in Somerset or Cornwall or Devon is like, when I grow up, I want to be Welsh. Think it through. And the Southern Brave, we're from the south. Like me and Ross, we are born in the south of England.
They're not brave, let me tell you.
Why would we have affinity with a team that play in Southampton?
They might as well just be like, do you know what, let's completely go down the stereotypes. This called us the Southern Softies. Everyone would be like, fine.
People would be on board with that.
Yeah. People would laugh. People would be like, do you know what, that's alright.
So I think our opinion on this is pretty clear.
Why are they doing it? Like, what is the, I mean, on a serious point here, we've pointed out all these glaring obvious flaws. We've been taking the piss out of how it's for women and children, but like really it just treats them like fucking morons.
Yeah.
And T20 cricket's 20 balls longer, more widely accepted.
Yeah.
And in many ways more accessible, particularly with respect to all of the cricket that exists historically.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. The same people who think Brexit is a great idea, the same people sitting there going, the hundo is exactly what's needed.
They
just seem like they're annoyed that that T20 and they weren't the people to make it amazing. And they want to turn around and be like, do you know what? We'll start something else. We'll start something else.
I feel like it would be so easy to just do a T20 competition. I mean, the other thing with this, most people's, when they enter into sport and they're interested in a sport or a new thing, Say, like, I don't know, someone who's never watched football before, they watch some football matches, probably at the moment they'd quite like Liverpool or Man City because they win a lot, they play attractive football, they score a lot of goals, you get to have fun. What they'll probably then do is sort of look back at the history of that club, learn a little bit about it, learn around the sport. If you just fucking invent a new sport, essentially, like that's sort of roughly attached to the old sport, but like with no significant... nothing that significantly ingrains it in the public conscience. And it's overlaid with this thing with this thing that does exist and does have history and people do identify with. It just seems like such a stupid...
Yep.
Way of thinking about
it. I think we all agree it's a bad idea, but we haven't even got to the worst bit, which was the point that I wanted to bring up in the first place with the kit, which is the sponsors. So the ECB, in their infinite wisdom, have decided it would be appropriate for a tournament aimed at children to get them into cricket in a world of increasing child obesity to sponsor the kits with snacks.
This isn't dissimilar for other competitions, though. Like McDonald's sponsor the FIFA World Cup, Pepsi and Mountain Dew have sponsored going the IPL and stuff like that. So
I know, I get this, yeah, but
I don't agree.
Why are they all?
Well,
because he couldn't turn around and someone goes, "Oh, hi, we're Bairstow and Johnson, the solicitors from Leeds, and we've won the bid to sponsor the Leeds team." They couldn't do that, could they?
No, but that, in every other sport, it's not like lots of Premier League football teams are sponsored by bookies, but not all of them. They've not entered.
Like, you've got some tire companies, airlines. It's all like
it doesn't. It doesn't make sense that you make them all sack. Surely, as well, it can't have made the most commercial sense to just get snacks.
There's only one thing that I can think of that maybe answers why this has happened.
Willy Wonka was organising the commercial deals?
Like, nearly, yeah. No, I'm just thinking, like, maybe in some meeting, someone suggested they could rope in KP to represent one of the teams, and some like poor intern which is the actual target audience after all, just got the wrong end of the stick and decided to pop chips on the agenda.
I hate you for doing this. Well, it's just for me.
It's just further evidence that decision making in the ECB just skips a few sanity checks. Because I think we all agreed that the whole idea was nuts to start with.
He's spent the whole afternoon doing this, isn't he?
But this takes the biscuit, right? The 100's built on a bad premise. They've taken cricket, and in order to simplify it, they've just changed to rules. And then pop corny names on the end of cities. Like, it's like the ECB is just going to jump through hula hoops to ensure it's the ultimate laughing stock. I've always wanted to go to an away Ashes series in Australia, but like with all this going on, I don't see how can a Pom bear to show their face over there after this. I just think we should just concentrate on Test cricket, which is
I want to jump across this.
The real McCoy.
I want to jump across this
table.
Can
I
destroy you? That's the death of the podcast.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
You've just heard a murder live on air.
Yeah, I've got one more thing to say about this. From a commercial standpoint, which is really ultimately what the ECB is concerned by.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through these, and like, I don't know this for sure, maybe someone can contribute, but like, KP Nuts, everyone knows who they are, Tyrrells, people know that. Why are fucking Skips, Hula Hoops, Pop Chips and Pom Bear spending their marketing budget sponsoring the fucking Southern Braves?
So I've done little to no research in this, but I can imagine. but looking at those, I can imagine that someone like Unilever or Procter and Gamble own more than one of those brands.
So, yeah, well, do you reckon the one of them they've just gone?
They might have just gone to
a job
gone to Unilever. It's like, what products do you want to put on these guys? And then one of it, as you said, an intern's gone, I know KP. Instantly, we're up. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Unreal. I would not be surprised.
Unreal.
So coming. Obviously, the sponsorship is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Max, do you know, as much as that was ridiculous, very well done. I would like it if technology had changed so much that they could then justify doing something like this. like if they had like in the crowd, so if you had like projections which had like hoops, for
packets
example,
of crisps.
No, not packets of. Oh, I hate you so much. But if you had like in the crowd, so when you hit a six and it was like in a designated area, actually that was eight runs. Or they had the technology that you had like a drone flying overhead. Yeah, but it was that bit where you're talking around.
Did you come up with 100?
Maybe I did. Maybe I did. But just that if something was a bit different, but this is just cricket with a few less balls. Yeah. This is not very smart, is it?
It's a beautiful day. Let's go outside and play. Got the
stumps.
Got the ball.
Yeah.
Got the cricket bat.
Yeah. Then we're A-okay. Let's go outside and play.
Ball, ball, ball. Slap, bat, bat.
The 100.
Oh, yeah.
Ball, ball, ball. Slap, bat, bat.
The 100.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hooking up with my gals. Now listen up, I'm with my pals. This song ain't no joke, cause we're all so stoked. Being with my friends is just the prize. On a day with no flies, we like to have fun outside when the sun's nice and high. So get your cheeks off the seat and let your body take the beat.
Ball, ball, ball. Slap, slap, slap.
The 100.
Yeah.
Ball, ball, ball. Slap, slap, slap.
The 100.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this looks pointless to an extent, but it's just easy. It makes me feel good about myself.
So we're coming to the end of a long cricket podcast.
Illustrious podcast.
Yeah. It's been a good review of 2019 with some other stuff about...
You sound so enthused by it.
How enthused can one be about the Hondo and Silverwood?
We can't leave it on that note, can we?
So why don't we sum up some other things that happened? There are a few little bits of this season that we've not mentioned. Max, I believe you were at one.
Yeah, finals day, the culmination of the 2020 cricket season, and it was my first experience of the Holly Stand. And
it's amazing, isn't
boy,
it?
Did it live up to all expectations.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It was amazing. Excellent fancy dress on show. There were some Mexicans being chased by a baby Trump and a wall, in turn being chased by a bunch of cardinals, foxes chasing chickens. Lots of chasing. Yeah, pretty good.
All round, the atmosphere is pretty great. Everyone's there for the same reason. There's no
20 finals there.
Anything but that.
But it doesn't feel like there's any tribalism between kind of cricket fans, is there, really?
No.
Like,
I mean, there were a few...
quite good.
There were a few Derbyshire fans who left early.
Did they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, after the semi-final, they just buggered off.
Why would they bugger off? I mean, I don't know. Like, you get a 3 days entertainment.
Yeah. They must have just been devastated.
How much was a ticket?
£73.
Do you know what? That's pretty good.
Yeah, quite a lot to go for just one game and leave. But I had a great. I mean, I wasn't particularly supporting anyone. But
so
I just,
was it good? What was the key bits in terms of cricketing? Or do you not really care? Essex did the double. That was the last thing we wanted to win.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of drinking. So my recollection isn't as clear as it could be. But it did look as though in the first game that Hales was going to carry it home for Notts against Worcestershire.
Just getting across the line.
And very good. And then I've clearly rubbed off on you. And Moeen Ali bowled beautifully. Took I think we went for 4 and over or so.
Yeah, gave Worcestershire a bit of a sniff, didn't he? And,
yeah. And against all the odds, Worcestershire made it through to the final. So fair play to them. Mm-hmm. Second game, less close. Essex pretty much stomped Derbyshire. That wasn't quite as entertaining as the mascot race.
Who won?
The eagle.
Is somebody's mascot still the pigeon?
The eagles did the double.
The triple.
Or it might have been the dragon. I can't remember. But basically, there was one.
Very different animals.
Yeah, there was. It was.
Have you ever seen an eagle that breathes fire?
No, that's true. There was one mascot there that basically the only part of the costume was like their head and a bit of a jacket, and they had their legs.
and the Nike Vapors they were wearing.
Their legs were completely free to run, so obviously they were going to win. Like, Cecil the Lion had no chance fully decked out in his lion costume.
He's Eddie the Eagle and Salazar's his coach.
That was phenomenal. Mascot race is always a good shout. And then it got to the final, which looked like it was meandering along to a low-scoring Worcestershire win until Bapara and Simon Harmer just just went a bit ballistic at the end.
An ex-England legend and a future England legend.
Yeah, Simon Harbour had quite the day. There was also a lot, good inflatable game, many bouncy balls, a few bouncy fish, and an inflatable poo emoji as well.
Fantastic.
And Rob Key tried to make himself popular at the end by coming and giving all the balls back to the crowd. So
did it work?
Well, I mean, I felt like he was just trying to get attention, but we did enjoy it.
Doesn't sound like Rob.
Cheers, Rob.
Doesn't sound like Rob.
Great day. I recommend, even if you don't like cricket that much. Cool. Well, I mean, why would you not like cricket that much and listen to this?
But what else do we need to tell our listeners about 2019?
I think it's just that message of going,
cricket's great.
Just reflect on what has just happened in
this. Well, I was going to say Essex won the county championship, but that's a good point as well, Ross.
Essex won the county championship. Yeah, for the second time in 3 years.
Somerset was so close, but the weather unsurprisingly got in the way at the end of
September. It's a shit way for it to end, wasn't it?
ECB again.
The controversial winter programme.
Before you know it, the county champ will be an indoor seven-a-side league.
But again, it was one of those things at the very start of the year we kind of talked about. There's definitely going to be something that goes all the way to the wire in the county championship, and something's going to happen. Lo and behold, it did. Mm. But some great cricket was played,
yeah.
And they've had some incredible players. Babar Azam playing for Somerset was just incredible. I just think cricket is going from strength to strength, and hopefully, when the Big Bash is going to start soon in Australia. We've also got the 5 incredible T20s against New Zealand. IPL's just around the corner, mate.
Can't wait. Get back on the. Are we going to pick new teams for next year, or are we going to stick with
the whole? I'm going to go to India, I reckon. I'm going to go to India and I'm going to.
Pod live.
It here first. This has been the Cricket Podcast 2019 Roundup.
Anthology.
We have some ideas for some shows to get us through the winter, or at least until there's some cricket. Mm-hmm. So expect podcasts from us on a fairly intermittent basis. Every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think.
There'll be some high quality stuff though.
Yeah. Stay subscribed.
Max, you honestly look like an American radio host.
As ever, if you want to get in touch with us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or thecricketpod@gmail.com.
We want to hear your stories of failures throughout the season.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jack. Goodbye.
Ross, signing off for the season.
And goodbye from Max, the American radio presenter.
You're live on TCT.
That's a joke that only works if you're here. Like the people listening. Now.
Ross just said it.
I did say it.
The Cricket Podcast.
I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.